outlined on the back table for you to follow along as I share the message with you today. We are concluding our long series of messages on the book of Ecclesiastes, and we have finally come to chapter 12. It's been a long journey as we have taken chapter, verse by verse, as we have plowed deep going through this book of wisdom. Remember, it's one of the five books of wisdom in the Bible. I'm sure most of you have seen and watched the reality television show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? How many remember watching that? How many still watch it? Well, a few of us. But, you know, when you spend a lot of time over the coffee table or dinner table with people, you get to know them. And you never really get to know someone by looking at the back of their head. And so since I'm kind of a relational guy, I spend a lot of time with people one-on-one. And that's one of the ways we get to know one another. And I spent a lot of time with Dick Shorb. Every Friday morning, we would meet for breakfast for over close to 30 years. And so we got very, very close, and we got to know the interests that each of us had. And from time to time, Dick would mention that he likes watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That was one of his favorite shows. The host for years then was Reggie Philbin, but now I believe it's Chris Harrison. But the guest has asked a series of questions, and each question is worth an increment of cash. And somebody can walk away in an instant if you answered all the questions exactly correctly. You would become a millionaire. And you always ask the question, and then the people would think about it for a while, and then they would give them the host their answer. And then the host always asks that question. Is that your final answer? And either you win or you lose based on yes or no. But one day, all of us will give a final answer before God, our Creator. And the stakes are a lot higher than $1 million. But the stakes are spending eternity with God or without God. So the stakes are very, very high. In fact, Jesus asked, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, we don't think much about the finality of life while we're young, middle age. But the whole idea of a final answer becomes a more grave issue as we get older. And as we approach what some people call the golden years. Now, I'm not talking about old age this morning because old age is hard to describe, at least for me anyway. What is old age? I'm not even going to go there. But when we reach an age where we realize that we have more years behind us than years in front of us, when we realize that we have seen more sunsets than we will see sunrises, this whole idea of our final answer takes on a more significant, deep meaning, so much more to us. Now, some people call this age the golden years. I don't like that term, the golden years. The poet said, grow old with me, the best is yet to be. What was he thinking anyway? Was he having a little too much to drink or what? But in any event, my barber for many years, his name was Bill, until he was stricken with cancer and he passed away. And in his latter days where he was working, stricken with cancer, he would say, Dale, the only thing that's golden about these golden years is a person's urine. And I think he's got that pretty correct. But Solomon is a little more raw in his description here in this chapter. He kind of looks at it like the rustic tin age rather than the golden age. And as you read his description of age, of old age, it's far from a shine because he deals with it realistically. I've discovered that most people are kind of scared, fearful of growing old. In fact, many are in denial that it will ever happen to them until you awaken one day and you discover you have arrived. And there you are. First time somebody refers to you as an older person, that's a shock. You say, "Excuse me, I beg your pardon." Howsoever, there are some benefits by becoming a senior citizen because of the discounts that we receive while shopping. Amen? Value Village gives senior citizens 30% discount on Tuesdays. I've noticed something. I ran into Dan one day over there in Value Village, and I knew what I was looking for. I was in and out of there. I think Dan just kind of likes to hang out there. He spends a whole afternoon there, I think, at Value Village. I mean, he scrutinizes over every little piece of item that he thinks he may be able to make a profit on eBay. And hats off to him. But we get senior discounts. Somebody read this. You know you're getting old when you know, here, you know you're getting old when, is what they said. You know you're getting old when all the names in your little black book end in MD. You know you're getting old when you get winded playing chess. You know you're getting old when you look forward to a dull evening. You know you're getting old when your knees buckle and your belt won't. You know you're getting old when you're 17 around the neck, 42 around the waist, and 126 around the golf course. That's for 9 holes, of course. You know you're getting old when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. You know you're getting old when you try to straighten out the wrinkles in your socks only to find out you're not wearing any socks. You know you're getting old when your pacemaker accidentally opens the garage door. And you know you're getting old when you bend over to tie your shoes and you wonder what else you could do while you're down there trying to tie your shoes. I think that Solomon is in his older years. Bible scholars think that he probably lived between 74 and 80 years of age. And the 12th chapter, he's writing his summation on the purpose of life, on the meaning of life. I won't say how old older is. I'm not even going to go there. But Solomon has been on a search for the meaning and purpose of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? And how can I find satisfaction? And what is the meaning of life? There's an excellent book. In fact, we studied this at a midweek Bible study years ago, The Purpose-Driven Life. That's a self-help book that you can read on your own and study on your own. A powerful book written by Rick Warren. Now keep in mind that Solomon had more money to pull off doing his elaborate search and do things that we only dream of doing, trying to figure out what life is all about. Solomon kind of reminds me of the likes of the Bill Gates of the 10th century B.C. in Israel. That's who he reminds me of, Bill Gates. So he tried things. He looked at life between birth and death and all of the experiences that are possible. And his answer is looking at them all that he tried. He came up empty. He said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanities." Where do you find meaning, satisfaction, fulfillment in life? His conclusion then was, "I can't find it anywhere. All the money I've spent, all the possessions I have, I'm still empty inside of my being." And so in modern vernacular, we would say, "I tried them all and I came up with a big fat zero. Nothing satisfies." Now why is he using vanity of vanity? He used that phrase 29 times earlier on in this book. Because he was seeing life under the sun. He was living life on the horizontal plane. He was looking at life apart from God. Now he's older. He's learned a few lessons in life, and he returns to a place of wisdom. Toward the end of the book, he moves above the sun. And at the conclusion of the book, and this is his final answer, his final installment, the conclusion of the whole matter, he returns to God, back to a place of wisdom. He understands that life is short. Isn't that the truth? Billy Graham was asked, what is one of the fundamental lessons you have learned about life and studying the Bible? You know what his answer was? The brevity of life. The brevity of life. I think at this stage in Solomon's life, as he was penning the words of chapter 12, he must be thinking about his father David. His dad wrote Psalm 103. Look what he said. David said, days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We bloom and then die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. I've said it quite often. Time's going to come, whether we like it or not. You know what? Someone else will be living where you live today. Someone else will be driving the car that you drive today. You're gone. Life goes on. In this final chapter, Solomon brings us back to the basics. He takes down all the irreducible minimums, the inevitable for most people. And in this 12th chapter, he talks about three things. We're going to mention just one of them today. He talks about aging. He talks about dying. And then he talks about preparing for that time when it comes. How to get ready for that inevitable season in our life. Now, those are the three things we look at as Solomon closes his journal. Those are the basic outlines. Aging, dying, and preparation for death. So let's look at these first five verses together, even though we read verse 1 last week. Look at it again. Here is the sobering process of aging. Look what he says. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Notice what he says next. Before the difficult days come. I want you to highlight that phrase. Before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon, the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. And the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, and the grinders cease because there are few, and those that look through the window grow dim, and the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of terror in the way. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden, and desires fail. Now this is a description and a very picturesque way of aging. Did you know that Solomon goes from a general description here, then he moves into a specific description? The general description of aging, according to Solomon, is difficult days. Notice he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, times of difficulty. This is referring to the aging process. Somebody once noted that old age ain't for sissies. And perhaps all of the younger years that we live and the midlife years that we live are in preparation for the toughest times, the most difficult times that are before us. That is the age of aging. So, teenager, you think it's tough being a teenager? Just wait. It gets tougher. You think it's tough making a living for your family? You just wait. It gets tougher. Some would say the real difficult days lie ahead. And he describes them. What happens as you age? Well, you become aware of your limitations. There are moments of isolation, and then there are moments of loneliness, and there are difficult days as we age. Let's face facts. Why is aging perhaps the most difficult years of our lives? And I believe that aging is the most difficult years of our life. Let me give you a few reasons why I believe that the aging years are difficult. Number one is guilt. Guilt makes it difficult. People, as they tend to grow old, they look back over life with a sense of remorse, and we feel guilty because we didn't make the right choice. We should have, could have, would have, and we didn't. There's the remorse. There's the regret. Why did I make that choice? Why did I make that decision? Why did I take that turn in the road? I should have done this, or I should have done that. That is often associated with one as we age. And so we have a tendency to feel guilty the way things happen. Another factor that makes old age difficult, I would say, is fear. People tend to become more afraid as they grow older. Many times an older person is gripped with a sense of fear for a lot of reasons. Fear of not much time left on planet Earth. Fear of just a few more days to live. A fear of a lack of income that is not sufficient to meet the needs on a reduced salary as we go into the retirement years. Fear of being vulnerable because we're older and weaker. Fear of being absolutely alone. Here's another factor that makes it difficult to grow old. It's a sense of uselessness. The feeling of, well, you know what? I'm just getting in the way. It's probably because of all those stupid parties that some people hold for people who are retired. They call it the over-the-heel party. I will never attend an over-the-heel party, folks, because if I do, I will begin to see myself as a guy that's over the hill, and I don't like to see myself as a person over the hill. And attending these over-the-heel parties just reinforces that message all the time. Over the hill, man, not me. But you feel a sense of uselessness. Have you ever asked yourself this question? What impact would my absence have on my relational world as if I wasn't there anymore? What impact would my absence have in my relational world if I weren't there anymore? I've thought about that. I'm out in the yard. I look over toward the house. I see our grandma busily involved in activities. I see grandma in the kitchen. And I'm outside. So the thought, I don't dwell on it, but what impact would my absence have? As we grow older, we tend to think I'm useless, I'm in the way, I'm over the hill. That's absolutely not true, by the way. And I'm sort of ashamed at our culture that idolizes youth and diminishes the importance of age. You know, in many Eastern cultures, they've got it right. The older you get, the more valuable you are in that culture, because over the years, you've gleaned a lot of wisdom and experience. And they treat older people in these Eastern cultures with high esteem. By the way, did you know that some of the greatest accomplishments a person has made in their life are not while they're young, but it's when they finally figure out what life is all about and they have learned from experiences, success and failure, and they've figured it all out, they have gotten mature enough to do something about it in their older years. They really have. Example of aged people make on their generation. How old was Moses when God called him? Was he 20? Nope. He was 80. Life was just beginning at 80 from old. The first 40 years of Moses' life, you might say that Moses was trying to be somebody. The next 40 years of Moses' life, God showed him he was a nobody. On the final installment, the last years of his life, God showed Moses that he could take a nothing and do something with him. And life was just beginning at the age of 80. How about that? Here's another one. At age 83, William Gladstone, the great statesman, Christian statesman of Britain, was elected for the fourth time in a row as Prime Minister of Great Britain. He was a great Christian statesman. How about this one? J.C. Penney also was a Christian. At age 95, get this, at age 95, he was still keeping office hours, get up, go to work. At 95 years of age, Frank Lloyd Wright was another one. 90 years of age, considered still a brilliant inventor and architect, as was Edison. Michelangelo at 89 painted what some think to be his greatest work of art, The Last Judgment, when he was 89, when he painted that great picture in Rome. The following year, at age 90, he was on his back, not in a casket, but on a scaffold, painting the roof of the Sistine Chapel at age 90. Absolutely magnificent piece of work. How about John Wesley, the evangelist, preached the gospel until he was 88 years of age. I'm only 77. I'm so young compared to these guys. When he was 88, he logged on horseback. This isn't a jet airplane with frequent flyer miles, or by train or by car, but he logged, listen to this, 250,000 miles on horseback, preached 4,000 sermons, had written volumes, songs, still going at 88. Wow, is what I say. There's an old English proverb that says, the older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune, or the sweeter the music. Now, if you don't know country music, I will introduce you to a song. That's country. I have a lot of country. Those of you who have been in my man cave, that's just a sampling. There's a ton more out in the hangar. But in any event, Hank Thompson penned a song and sung a song in 1974, and it made a big hit for him. Hank Thompson's big hit, the song he took off of the proverb that we just quoted. He changed the words to, the older the violin, the sweeter the music. That's a beautiful country song if you like country music. You know, some things age better with time. They get better. They tell me, I don't know because I don't drink it, but they tell me that wine ages better over time. Some people get better with age, really. Not everyone does, but some people do. You folks do. You're getting better with aging. Amen. Someone say amen around here. Amen. Nothing to be ashamed of growing old. You know, we've come to idolize youth. I don't intend to get into politics, but this one 29-year-old that's making a big splash in the media today, she's still wet behind the ears. But we idolize the youth and forget about the wisdom and years of experience of the aged. I like Agatha Christie's quote, is what she said. It's a humorous quote. She said, an archaeologist is the best husband a woman could ever have because the older she gets, the more interested in her she becomes. Kind of like that one. Well, that's a general description, difficult days in this process called aging. Remember now thy Creator in the days of their youth, before the difficult days. He's talking about growing old. Now, he elaborates on the difficulty of these years in the next few verses. He's very careful in his description, his imagery that he uses. And you read through this and think, man, he's pretty raw. But he's very honest with age. What we're about to read, this has never been more relevant for Americans than right now, more so than ever in the past. You know why? Simply because Americans are growing older. People today are living longer. You might say, it worked. All the health foods, the exercise, it's paying off. It's working. You have old age to look forward to. Just think, in 1900, just a little over 100 years ago, only 4% of the American people were aged 65 or above. In 2000, it was 12%, three times in 100 years. 2014, there were 72,197. That was up 44% from 2000. Americans over age 80, 90, and even 100, their numbers are increasing. These verses are going to be very meaningful, especially if you are a caregiver, and the older we grow as a population, that is a reality of life. We're children and grandchildren, listen up, Brendan and Abby, will begin to care for your grandma and grandpa when we need assistance. And you will be watching the process unfold right before your eyes even right now, even though you think we are immortal, we will never die, but we will. But Solomon describes the weakness of age, the debilitation, the lack of strength that we have. Do you know what is the hardest part of my ministry? I've been around New Hope for 32 years come Easter. I've seen and met a lot of people over the years. Do you know what my hardest part of my ministry is? I'll tell you. It's watching people that once were active and healthy and vibrant lose their health, and to watch them no longer active as they once were. I visited with Bill this past week. Man, that guy used to be really active. Those days are gone. It's hard to watch. For 15 months, Eileen was in St. Joe feeding Milo. He couldn't talk, couldn't feed himself, couldn't clothe himself, couldn't bathe himself. He once did. That's hard for me to watch. But that's life. Look at verse 2. Remember, this is part of a thought. Remember now your Creator, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not dark, and the clouds are not returned after the rain. Commentators believe this refers to the failing mental powers. Your memory goes. This is usually the first sign, right? Some of us are experiencing that right now. Where is my cell phone? Who took my cell phone? I can't find my car keys. Where in the world are they? Someone. Am I the only one in that problem? You forget. You place things. Remember, this goes. You know, it really isn't fair for some people. Your face clears up and then your mind goes. That's a quick transition, isn't it? I found this, one author said. One of the most disturbing aspects of aging is the growing inability to recall vitally important information, such as, where'd you put your slippers? This affliction becomes particularly pronounced when you go upstairs to get something. Halfway up, you realize that you have no inkling what you were going upstairs to fetch. Then you have to decide whether to go back downstairs, try to remember what you needed, or continue on up and look for something that needs bringing down. Unable to decide, you resort to sitting on the landing and sulking, only to discover that you have completely forgotten whether you were originally upstairs coming down or downstairs going up. Your memory begins to fade. There were two elderly Christian women I read about in some church, both sisters in the Lord, both really Christians for a long period of time, and they were discussing the difficulty of growing old. And it was hard to grow old. And one was looking right into the eyes of the other, and she said, "You know, the worst thing about aging is that your mind goes." And she continued to look at her friend, and she said, "I've known you all of my life, and for the life of me, I can't remember your name. What is it?" The second woman paused a long time, and she said, "Do you need the answer right away?" Look at verse 3. Solomon is even more colorful here. He begins a description and detail of aging. This is a metaphor now that we are about to read, that Solomon chooses a metaphor of a mansion, an old mansion that is deteriorating, and it's kept and maintained by old people who are living in it. He says, "Day when the keepers of the house tremble." Keepers of the house are the hands, the arms that guard your body against attackers. And just like you have guards keeping a palace, they begin to shake and lose strength. Unable to protect, they start shaking with time. You know that to be true. Our hands aren't as stable as it once was. Some of us can't even write a check anymore because there's so much trembling there. You remember the film years ago, On Golden Pond? How many have seen On Golden Pond? That's a hilarious film talking about aging. Henry Fonda played Norman Thayer, that aging man with his wife, played by Katharine Hepburn. They show what it's like to grow old. And it was frightening for them. They begin to forget things. And they begin the shaking with their hands. And every time he'd do something, he would forget where he was going, and he would shake, and his wife, played by Katharine Hepburn, would say, "Norman, you old poop, remember that show? I mean, that's a good old show to watch more than once." And that show shows how we age. So frightening to those who are going through it. That's the keepers of the house trembling. And the strong men, it says, bow down. Those are the legs, the pillars that support the trunk. They weaken over time, and they become operable. Where your knees buckle, but your belt won't. Your legs refuse to work. Now, some people grow old with healthy and vigor. I think of George Beverly Shea. You know how old he lived to be? He lived to be 104 years old. Notice the continuation of the description. Notice this. The grinders cease because they are few. What does that refer to? That refers to your teeth. The grinders. The grinders cease because they are few. In Hebrew, it's a feminine word that refers to an aged female workers in an estate who would grind the grain to bake the bread. As they grow older, few of them die off, and so they're few in number. But it also here speaks of teeth, that you end your life as you begin it. No teeth. Especially 3,000 years ago in that culture, they didn't have that dental technology that we have today. Their teeth then began to fall out, and they had fewer teeth. And so you end your life like you begin it, toothless, in those days. Look at this next one. Those who look through the window grow dim. That speaks of your eyesight. Again, it's feminine, the Hebrew. It seems to indicate that the ladies that were living in this old estate were fearful to go outside and socialize anymore. They were looking at life through the window. As the woman of the estate would grow older, they wouldn't go outside. They were frightened because of safety reasons. They would simply not socialize anymore, and they would peer through the windows on the streets below. So this refers to failing eyesight, eye disease, cataracts that grow over time. Our prescriptions change over time, don't they? I've done that many, many times over the years. I first started wearing glasses in the 8th grade. Sometimes the glasses get so thick you could burn ants with them. That's the aging process. They're huge. Just one of the results of age. That's the body. It just wears out, breaks down. Not much gas in the tank anymore. And if you're over 40, maybe 50, how do you read things? You pick up a book and you go like this, trying to read what it says. Amen? Amen. True. Look at verse 4. The doors are shut in the streets. What does that refer to? The doors are shut in the streets. The sinking of the mouth because of the loss of teeth. The keepers or the doors shut in the streets. You've seen some people that don't have a full plate of teeth. The lower part, the chin begins to sink in. That's what he's referring to here. In those days, courtyards went around the ancient homes in the Middle East, and there was a gate right out into the street. And the idea here is that the mouth cavity, because of tooth loss, the doors and the lips, they fall inward. He's speaking in metaphoric terms here. The sound of grinding is low. You ever hear young children, teenagers eat until they are corrected? They make a lot of noise when they eat. We try to teach our kids, close your mouth when you chew, and don't talk until your mouth is empty. There's so much talking going on and chewing at the same time. Not in old age. Our mouths are closed, and we eat very quietly for the most part. Now look at this next one. When one rises up at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. When one rises at the sound of a bird, there's a loss of melatonin in the brain, and you spend sleepless nights. It's hard to get a good night's sleep anymore. Anyone have that problem? Don't raise your hand. The sound of a bird, it could keep you from sleeping. And then look at this next one. It says, all the daughters of music are brought low. That's the ears, the increasing deafness in old age. Daughters of music refer to the sensitivity of hearing. Those three bones connected to the nerves in your brain that lose sensitivity as you grow older. And you wonder, as you grow older, why is it that everybody is talking so softly anymore? Why are they mumbling? Speak up, we say. Nothing wrong with them. The problem lies within. There's just a dimension of our sensitivity in hearing. It's that the daughters of music have been brought low. And so what do we say? Say again. The wheels are coming off. That's a good way of saying it. Absolutely. You see that commercial on TV about that old guy having a hard time hearing his son out in the workshop? Verse 5, look at this. The point is taught, Brendan. Verse 5, they're also afraid of height and terrors in the way. The fear of falling is the fear of a lot of aged people. You look at a curb. Oh man, how in the world am I going to step up on that curb? Flight of stairs, that's not even negotiable. Forget it. The terrors of driving. Why is it that a lot of aged people don't drive their car at night? They don't want to go out at night. Fear they might have an accident or someone might bump into them. So they park the car in the garage at night. Now look at this next one. This says the almond tree blossoms. They know when an almond tree blossoms, it turns, the little bud on top of the tree turns white. So what does this refer to? Your hair growing gray. This is before Clairol, of course. This is ancient times we're talking about. The almond tree is blossoming for some of us as I speak. Look at this next one. The grasshopper is a burden. What does that mean? We have difficulty in our mobility. The limbs are stiffer. The legs sag, drag. They don't work anymore. And then look at this one. It says, and desire fails. Now, what in the world does that mean? Fasten a seatbelt. Most commentators see this as referring to one's sexual drive diminishing with age, for the most part. You try to convince a teenager that the difficult days are coming, down the road, growing old, it's going to happen to them. It is utterly impossible to paint the picture of that for a teenager. They're in perpetual denial for the most part. Oh, it's going to happen to grandma and grandpa. We see that happening before our very eyes, but it'll never happen to me. Oh, yes, it will. The day's coming. Old age should be blessed. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness, if it is found. That's why he says three times, remember now your Creator before those days hit you, when the die is cast, while you still have the ability, without being so hardened and so set in your ways, to make these kind of sensitive spiritual decisions. Now is the time, in those years of walking with God, I've often said it's never too late, regardless of your age, to begin that spiritual journey. Now, we have looked at the sobering process of aging, and we have seen the debilitating process that sets into our bodies as we age. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. The following Sunday is Easter. And we will return to finish chapter 12 the Sunday after Easter. Now, what do you think? Isn't Solomon right on point? If someone says to you the Bible is not relevant, you just say, get your Bible out if you have one, and just read chapter 12, and you pass on what you've learned today. You'll get the drift. Solomon knows what he's talking about. As we wrap up this message, I direct your attention to the video screen.
The older I get, the more I think. You only get a minute, better live while you're in it, 'cause it's gone in a blink. And the older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and stuff, that makes you rich. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get, the fewer friends I have. But you don't need a lot, and the ones that you've got have always got your back. And the older I get, the better I am. And knowing when to give and when to just not give a damn. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get. Thank you. laughed and cried. Souvenirs and little signs of the life I've lived. The older I get, the longer I pray. I don't know why, I guess that I've got more to say. And the older I get, the more thankful I feel for the life I've had and all the life I'm living still.
To the